Always enjoy a good season of prayer. Just sitting listening to the request tonight, it just makes your heart heavy, doesn't it? You know, I guess the reality of sin and the curse, we just need to be reminded that this world is not our home. We're just passing through, brethren. We're just passing through. This is not our home. Perhaps you have at some time in your life, as we turn to the book of Deuteronomy, or maybe even tonight, I don't know. Sometimes our thinking's not straight, and we think, well, you know what, I'd like to live forever in this life. Not me. I sure am glad that God banished Adam and Eve from the garden and put the seraphim there, aren't you? The cherubim with the flaming sword. I sure wouldn't want to live in this life forever. But I sure am glad there's a better one awaiting us. Amen. Amen. Just over, the songwriter said, in the glory land. And what a day that'll be. I've ran across a pamphlet that's been very helpful to me, and I'd like to make it available to you if it's something you'd be interested in. It's called Sweet Hour of Prayer, and it's put out by Christ Life Ministries. Harold Vaughn, maybe you've heard of Harold Vaughn, Christ Life Ministries, good ministry. And it just kind of helps you to maybe, I'm just going to be transparent with you. I get overwhelmed with prayer requests. I have dozens, if not scores of people to contact me about prayer, and then here at the church, my family, you, our church family, the community, people I've known for years. And it can be very overwhelming when you kneel to pray, and just, I mean, your heart, your mind is just flooded to where it's almost distracting. You need a little direction. And this pamphlet has really helped me to kind of gear and guide. And if you think it would be a help to you, I'll get you one. And so how many of you, it asks some very pointed questions. Okay, now listen, this is not some kind of little shell or something. This is something that will go right deep down into your heart and just ask you how serious you are about prayer. Because there's no need in just, talking. If you want to get a hold of heaven, you're going to have a pure heart. And you're going to have to confess some sin. Amen. You're going to have to search your heart and ask God to search your heart. You're going to have to be willing that when God reveals some things, to confess it and turn from it and do better with the help and by the grace of God. Then, see, you can begin to pray as the Spirit of God leads and guides us. And then it kind of breaks some things down into categories. Anybody interested in that? I won't try to count your hand. I just want to look and see about, okay. I think it would help you. Even if you say, well, you know what? I don't know that I'm interested in that. I like what I'm doing. That's fine. You may want to get it just to see if it could add something to what you're already doing. You know, prayer is so important. It's just so important. And that's why we fight the battles that we do about this thing called prayer. It's because it's so important. And so I just want to do anything I can to help my brothers and sisters in this area of their life, because I realize this is the weapon that God has given us, this weapon of prayer that Satan does everything within his power to keep us from utilizing. And so I'll order some of those and I'll have them here, and if I hope it'll be a help to you. Deuteronomy. This morning, as I was considering some things, some notes that I had taken, getting ready to go into chapter 4, and I ran across something, and God said, this is what I want you to preach. And so that's what I'm going to preach. Deuteronomy is a very interesting book. It has wonderful, wonderful truths in it. It certainly is a historical account of the children of Israel, where Moses is reviewing in these first three chapters. He's just reviewing some things of how they got to where they are presently from where they were, and some of the things that they should learn. And so we've talked about some things, and I just want to kind of highlight a couple of things in chapters 1 and 2 that I hope that you got from it. And if you didn't, I want to give you some takeaways, some things that I hope that you will apply to your life and that God will give us grace, and I would apply it to my life. So Moses, he begins out in chapter 1, and he begins to talk to this new generation. And he says, I want you to learn some things from the past generation. And so he begins to rehearse some things. And if you'll remember, as we were going through, one of the things that I got as far as a takeaway from chapter number 1, look, if you would, down in verse number 26. He said, I want you to go into the land. I want you to possess the land. And he said, God was going to do it. God had that land for you. He said, but you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord. And I tell you, brethren, there's a price to pay for disobeying God. I know, I understand what kind of society we live in, where people are very flippant about this. And people say, well, you know, God's a God of grace. Yes, he is. God's a God of love. Yes, he is. But God's holy too. As a matter of fact, I just want to remind you, and I need to be reminded, that right now those that are gathered around the throne of God are not saying love, 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 and grace, grace, grace. They're crying holy, holy, holy. And God expects you and I to be holy. And he has given us the resources to be holy. And again, I realize that we live in a day where people excuse sin and disobedience and say, well, you know, God understands. God understands that we're rebellious and don't want to do what he commanded us to do. And we just live in a world that seems to not understand. I think a lot of it's on the church. It's on you and I as Christians. And I'll get more into that in just a moment. But God, speaking through Moses, said, you know, in verse number 26, he said, you would not go up, but you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And brethren, there's consequences for this. There's consequences for disobedience. And we have to understand that just because we don't suffer immediate consequences, that doesn't mean that there's not consequences. So, well, I'll just ask God to forgive me. Well, God will forgive you, but there'll still be consequences for your sin and for your actions, and we have to understand this, okay? I'm glad God's forgiving God. I'm glad God will forgive us. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we'll confess our sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the Bible also teaches that there's consequences for our disobedience. Now, these consequences, as we looked at last week, they not only affected this generation of people, but they affected their children. And if there's something that ought to really sober us and really cause us to think, is that our actions and the way that we approach God and the way that we live our lives, brethren, people are watching us, in particular our children. And so we need to be really, really careful here. I'm going to tell you one of the tricks of the devil. Now listen to me. I've been doing this a little while, okay? I hadn't been doing it as long as some, but I've been doing it a while. And the devil will keep you out of church. He will keep you away from the Bible. He'll keep you out in the world until your children get to a certain age. And then you decide, well, you know what? I better get back in church and get my children in church. For many, 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 many people, too late. Seeds have been sown. Directions have been taken. And so don't think now, I'm just going to play church a little bit, or I'm just going to lay back and let life happen. And then when my children get to a certain age, or when crisis comes, then we're going to run back to the church and we're going to open our Bible again. Well, listen, I'm glad God is gracious and I'm glad God is merciful. But if you don't hear anything else, you hear this tonight now. There is a price to pay for a life that is spent outside the will of God. And so please don't let that happen to you. Please, in the name of Christ, don't allow that to happen. And it can. It has, and it will. But don't you be one that it happens to. You don't have to be, okay? Because there were two individuals who said, you know what, we're not going to rebel against the commandment of the Lord. Remember who they were? We looked at one of them. It was Joshua and Caleb. Look in verse 36. And if I read chapter number 1, this is one of the most encouraging things You know, the others, they discouraged the people of God, and they the other 10, and they followed the people of God, followed those 10. But thank God for Caleb. He followed the Lord wholly. See, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. I'm striving to do that. I want to do that. I want to follow the Lord wholly. And I believe that many of you do too. And as God is our helper, that's what we will do. Amen? As God is our helper now, we want to follow the Lord wholly. Now, if you don't, well, like I said, there's consequences. But now, if you do, thank God there's rewards. Because Caleb got that mountain. And so did his seed and his children. See, they were blessed by his decisions too. Right? And so we praise God for that. So that's kind of, as we read down through chapter number one, that's kind of what we get. And then, of course, when you get to chapter 1, verse 41, just a sad thing when people say, you know what, we're going to go running back to God now. And that's what the children of Israel did. It kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. After God told them to go, they said, we're not going to go. And then look, if you would, in verse number 41, then ye, chapter 1, verse 41, answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. Okay, now we're going to do right. God said, no, I've already exacted my judgment. You're not going into the land. And I'm not going up in the midst of you. And he said, so don't go. I've seen this happen more than once in my ministry with folks, brethren. Folks say, well, now we're going to go ahead and go because we know what God said. And God said, well, listen, that's null and void now. Things have changed. And they said, well, we're going to go. And yeah, we'll go. See, they didn't really want to go. They had no intention of going until they found out there were consequences for the rebellion. And so then they came back. The repentance was not real. And the scripture says that they were smitten. The latter part of verse number 42, they were smitten before their enemies. And in verse number 43, it says that they went presumptuously. They just presumed, well, God will do it. Now, I hear this all the time as a pastor. Well, God can't do this. I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. He's a God of grace. God has to do this. God doesn't have to do anything but honor his word. And so don't get confused now. God doesn't owe us anything. And I'm just trying to help somebody tonight. All right? And so as I read this, I read to where they were humiliated. In verse 44, they were chased like bees. And they were humiliated. So when I read chapter 1, I read a real warning here. Be careful. Be careful. You may be a child of God. And if you are, praise God. But now God has some guidelines. And God has some things and some expectations of you and I as the children of God, right? And so we certainly want to follow the expectations of the Lord so that we can reach our fullest potential. Don't take the commandments of God lightly. Don't do it. Chapter 2. Chapter 2, well, when I read through the historical part, there's two very overriding messages here. One is, I sure am glad that God guides us along the way. Amen. I mean, if you've read chapter 2, then you're going to be fully understanding of what I'm getting ready to say. When I read chapter 2, I just see where God says, take a left here. Now take a right here. Don't do that. Do this. Don't go here. Go here. Aren't you glad for the instruction of the Holy Spirit of God? Brethren, listen. I'm glad that God helps me. I'd be in a heap of trouble probably every day if it wasn't for God's guidance in my life. I need God's guidance in my life. And I'm thankful for it. I ask for it. I need it. And that's what I see when I read chapter 2. Notice, if you would, a couple of things here. So the first thing is we need God's guidance, and God will guide us. Over and over again in the Psalms, in the Proverbs, in the Old and the New Testament, God just says, listen, I'll guide you along. We sang that song tonight, God leads his children alone. Aren't you glad God leads us alone? I'm so thankful for that. Listen, God doesn't just lead us in the time of prosperity. God will lead us in the time of adversity too. Right? That's right. And so I'm glad that God leads us in the water, the flood, the fire, and sorrow, enjoy. I'm glad for God's leadership in our lives. But there's another prevailing truth that I see. You have to choose your battles. Don't just go to war over anything. Don't let your emotions get caught up. Listen, this world is a very provoking place. Now, I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to say to you. As believers, we can be provoked and drawn into things that God doesn't want us to have a part of. You say, well, surely God wants us to fight against this, and surely God wants us to fight against that. No, God wants you to fight against what He leads you to fight against. Just because you feel a little riled about something, or I feel a little challenged by something, that doesn't mean God wants me to fight that battle at that time. And so that's what I get here. Notice, if you would, in chapter number 2, verse number 4, right in the middle of that it says, and they, you see that, and they shall be afraid of you. He's talking about passing through the coast where the children of Esau are. And he said, now I'm going to move on their hearts and they're going to be afraid of you. But notice what he said right after that. They shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves therefore. Amen. Don't think just because you have the upper hand that you're supposed to go to combat. No, you just pass on through. God said, I've got them where I want them. And you just pass on through. As a matter of fact, I like what he said in verse number 5 of chapter 2. Meddle not with them. Leave them alone. You just leave them alone. You say, I've got a word to say. Well, you just keep that word to yourself until God tells you to open your mouth and say it. Amen. I'm telling you, brother, this is where a lot of Christians get in trouble. We think because something's happened to the government or something's happened with some institution that we're against that we're supposed to go down there and roll our sleeves up and fight somebody. Hey, listen, you choose your battles wisely. You let God lead you into battle. You don't want to get back in chapter 1 where you presumptuously just dive into a battle. You'll be chased out like folks running from a swarm of bees. We have to choose our battles. We need to stay in touch with God and let God guide us. There's just sometimes God will say, listen, you stay away from that. I'm taking care of this. You don't meddle with this. You with me, brethren? Amen. You see, we pray about things. We get confirmation from God. We don't just act on emotion and whim. He said it again in verse number 9. The Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle. The Moabites, that Moab, that's God's worst part. We're going to go down there and set them straight, preacher. You better make sure God told you to do that. You better make sure God told you to do that. You'll end up making a mess out of things. I've done it, brethren. And listen, if you've been saved for any length of time, possibly you have too. You've just took a battle into your own hand. We take battles into our own hands and just assume or presume, chapter 1, verse 43, that God wants us to do it when God said, no, I don't want you to do that. I'm going to take care of that. I have something else for you to do. See, God had other battles He wanted them to fight. He said, I don't want you fighting these battles. I've got this taken care of. You do what I tell you to do and things will work out. Isn't that the way life is? And so let me just give you a couple of more. Look in verse number 19. He told them again in chapter 2, verse 19. He said, now listen, when you comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them. You leave them alone. I'm going to take care of that situation. I've got that. He said, I want you to go down in verse number 24. He said, I want you to rise up and take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. He said, you began to possess it and contend with him in battle. Now it's okay to go battle. Why? God gave the green light. That's who I want you to battle. See, God has a purpose for things. And if we're not careful, we'll be trying to battle everything that doesn't look like us. Amen. Well, if you don't look like me and talk like me and walk like me and act like me, we're going to war. Well, you better stay out of so many wars. That's what wearies people. And God will tell us what battles to fight. I just want to tell you, brethren, there's a lot of unnecessary divisions and battles among Christians. Unnecessary. Now, I'm for battling. The Bible says we ought to contend for the faith. And there's some things we ought to stand up for and battle. And sometimes your battle and my battle will be different. That's right. God will tell me to be battling one thing while maybe He has you battling another. But that doesn't mean we're on different teams. just means we're on the same team in different battles. And so as I read chapter 2, I see where God is navigating and guiding the children of Israel alone, and he's giving them instruction, and they're learning to follow the Lord's instruction in every walk of life. And I want to do that. Okay? And I believe you want to do that. And then I get to chapter 3, and it really picks up. Okay? I mean, now he's guiding them alone, and he's saying, when you get to this battle in chapter 3, verse 1, he tells them, he said, I want you to go in this battle too. You see that in verse number 1? He said that, you know, here's another battle. And so we just see where God continues to navigate and guide them. And then something happens. And if you didn't already know, and many of you do, perhaps some of you don't, I don't know. Well, there's getting ready to be a changing of the guard here. And something has really happened that's going to upset the apple cart, so to speak, and it's going to be a changing of power in the nation of Israel. The Bible says in verse number, notice if you would, in verse number 21, and I commanded, Joshua at that time, saying, thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings, those two that he told them to go to battle with. And God said, now, Moses, I want you to encourage Joshua. Now, if you've read some of the history and you've read through the first five books of the Bible, you know what's happening here. Moses sinned against the Lord. See, even God's good men can sin against the Lord. But you know what? Just like the multitudes, it goes for the leaders too. We can sin against the Lord, but not without consequence. And God said, you're not going into the promised land, Moses. And he said, I want you to encourage Joshua. He's going to lead my people into the promised land. You know, when I look at this, I read verse 21 and 22 of chapter number 3, and he said in verse number 22, you shall not fear, Moses talking to Joshua, you shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. There's just so many things that just start turning in my heart. First of all, I just see the character of such a man like Moses. Could you imagine what was going on with Moses? Moses wanted to see the promised land. As a matter of fact, he told God here, and we'll see it in just a moment, he said, I want to see that land. I want to see. And God said, no. He said, no, you're not going to see. Actually, God said, don't ask me again. I mean, he got stern with him. He said, don't ask me again. He said, I know what's best, and so don't ask me that. You're not going. He said, Joshua's going, and I want you to train your successor. And Moses did just that, and he done a good job too. I wonder if you could do that. I wonder if I could do that. I wonder if I could train somebody to do what I wanted to do, but wasn't going to be able to do it. God was going to use them to do it instead. That says a lot about a man's character. It really does. Moses was a man of great character. But I learned something else from Moses. The Bible says that Moses was the meekest man to live on the earth. And yet, he failed in his strength. See, we can fail in our strengths as well as our weaknesses. I think sometimes we guard against our weaknesses, and for that purpose, we don't think we have to guard against our strengths, and that may be the very area that we're tempted in, and the devil gets the upper hand on us. The very area that Moses thought, I'm good here, that's where the devil got him. So you be careful now. Oh, preacher, I'd never do. And then whatever you fill in that blank right there, you better watch that right there. The thing that you say, you know, I could see myself doing this. Don't want to now, but I could see myself this or that. But I could never do that. Well, that right there is what you better watch. You be careful. Because you let your guard up on your strength and it could become your weakness. I want to talk a little bit about Moses. In the time that we have left, what happened here? What did God, listen, Moses got personal with God here. Can I ask you to look at verse 23? He said, I besought the Lord at that time. See, up until this time, Moses is public and he's speaking the word as God spoke to him. He's speaking the word to the children of Israel. But right about this time, it appears that Moses got personal with God and private with God. And the scripture says in verse number 23, he said, I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. What a statement. Amen. Moses said, God, I just got to see the way this thing ends. Right? Look at it verse 24. He said, thou hast begun to show. He said, God, don't leave me out here without knowing how this thing's going to turn out. I want to see that land. I've heard about it and I've dreamt about it and I've talked to the people about it. God, that's where I want to go. I want to go there. I remember when the people in Egypt were talking about these promises, this land. They were sworn into Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, our forefathers. And I just dreamed about that land. And I never dreamt that I would be the one that would deliver a people and that would take them to that land. And I brought them all the way out of Egypt under your power, under your hand. And I brought them this far. And now you're saying, no, God, I want to see it. Can we just work something out to where I could go over in there? He said, Lord, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I tell you, Moses, he had seen some things. Amen. Moses said, I just want to see the way this thing turns out. I just want to be there when this thing comes to the finality. Verse number 25, he said, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes. Moses said, as I recalled that time, seems like he's going back and saying, you know, the Lord was, he was wroth for me, with me for your sakes. And he would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me on this matter. What I have said, I have said. It's over. You're not going. I'd say there's probably 90%, maybe 100% that would have a thought like I've had before. What was the big deal here? I mean, you know, he, look at all the good that Moses has done. Right? I mean, have you ever thought this? If you study the Bible for any length of time, you look at all the good that Moses done, and then this one thing, you know, kind of, this one thing, and now he can't go to the promised land. Well, first of all, that is a terrible way to think. This one thing, brethren, there's no little sin. God hates sin. And I sure don't want to get to the place where I'm thinking that about me. You know, God, don't judge this sin in my life because look at all the other good I've done. That's a terrible way to live life. That's a terrible way to live life. As a matter of fact, you will have a very light view of sin if you begin to live your life that way. And I don't want to live my life that way. I want to view sin the way God does. Now, I'm not saying that I do. I haven't made it there yet. But I'm asking God to grow me to that place to where I hate sin the way God hates sin. I don't want to take a light view of sin. And so I don't want to look at Moses' life and say, well, you know what? I'm not going to go public with this, but, well, if they took a secret ballot vote, I'd vote Moses into the promised land. Right? So what did he do? Do you know? Do you remember what happened? Yeah. He was just trying to meet some people's needs. I'm going to take about 5 minutes, and I'm going to give you these references. Would you turn there with me quickly? Turn, if you would, to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Would you turn there? And I'm just going to read these. I'm not going to elaborate on them tonight. I sure hope you'll go home and read them, because all four of these things that I'm going to cite for you, I've struggled with. We're not talking about somebody, listen, we're talking about a mighty warrior, a great leader, a man of God, Moses. So we're not talking about someone who lived life flippantly and casually and cavalier. No, we're talking about a stalwart in the faith. Psalm 106, look if you would in verse number 33. Well, we'll look at verse number 32 first. They angered him, and this is talking about Moses. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit. Now watch this next phrase. So that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. I want to be careful about speaking unadvisedly with my lips. You do too. God doesn't take this lightly. When you read the account, and you can go ahead and turn to one part of it in Numbers chapter number 20. When you read the account, you'll see where Moses, I mean, he lost his cool. I mean, he blew up. He just started raking these people over the coals. Now you say, now, preacher, you know, man shouldn't rake somebody over the coals. Well, Moses had a lot of stress, a lot of pressure. I could see how it could happen. That doesn't excuse it. Are you in Numbers chapter 20? So he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. Be careful. You know, we've been studying a little bit, at least I have. I hope you've been following me. In James chapter 1, what's it say? Swift to slow to be careful, especially when you're speaking what God said. When you're approaching someone and you're saying, well, God said, and you have the wrong spirit, the wrong attitude, don't be unadvised. It cost Moses. This is serious business. And so when I read through chapter 3, I was ready to go into chapter 4, and God said, no, I want you to say this. I said, okay. So I'm saying it. Let's be careful. God has devoted a whole chapter in the book of James to this thing right here. This thing will get us in trouble, brethren. Are you listening? The old tongue will get you in trouble. It will. Now, I'm speaking to me, you, this is us, okay? We're it. Let's be careful. Moses began by speaking unadvisedly, and it snowballed on him. Look, if you would, in Numbers chapter number 20, in verse number 2. Now, hold your place here. I've got to show this because it wouldn't. Exodus 17, you have to see this so you can understand Numbers 20. So the first time, go to Exodus 17 just for a moment. Exodus 17, so the children of Israel, Exodus 17, if you would turn there. The children of Israel, they traveling and they get thirsty, and they went to Moses and they said, give us water to drink. And in Exodus 17 in verse number 2, they were chid with Moses and they were upset. And Moses said, wherefore do you tempt the Lord? Look at verse 3 of Exodus 17. And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, please watch this next statement. What shall I do unto the people? That's very important. What shall I do unto the people? He said, they're getting ready to stone me, getting ready to kill me. What should I do to them? And you know what God said? You read this, God said, nothing. I want you to do it to the rock. I want you to strike the rock instead of the people. You see what's happening here? It's very important you see what's happening here. See, the rock, write this reference down. 1 Corinthians 10:4 was Christ. So see, when people have a need and they're murmuring against God and they're full of sin and they come and they say, you know, we want God to do this, we want God to do that. And then the intercessor says, what shall I do unto these people? He said, strike the rock instead of the people. That's a picture of Christ. That's a picture of Christ. That's why what I'm getting ready to read to you in Numbers is very important, because Christ is to be stricken once. Once Christ was stricken, then you just ask. You just speak, right? With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And so God knew. I'm building a type here. And Moses, so you go back to Numbers chapter number 20, God said that here's this next generation coming now, and Numbers chapter number 20, same thing happened. They get thirsty. And they went to Moses, and they said, you know, we're thirsty. And Moses, the Lord in verse number 7, spake unto Moses, saying, are you there? Numbers chapter 20 and verse number 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. I want you to speak to the rock. You know what Moses did. He took that rod of God that God had given him, and he struck the rock twice. Smote the rock. Brethren, that's crucifying Christ afresh. And God said, that's not the way this is going to work. He said, you handled my word inappropriately and ill-advisedly. It's a very serious thing to add to take from, or to change God's word. Amen. Now listen, I know the kind of day we live in, but that doesn't change what God said. I really want you to hear what I'm saying tonight. There are people that are so flippant with God's word. I mean, they just, you know, well, I know what God said, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to add my own little twist to it. Yeah, Moses did that too, and it cost him. So you be careful now. You be careful. So, well, God will forgive me. Well, sure he will, but there will be consequences. I believe God forgave Moses, but he didn't go into the promised land. So really be careful. See, this thing of just saying, well, you know what, God understands, and God's a God of grace, and it won't matter. It does matter. It does matter. I want you to follow with me in chapter number 20 of Numbers. Look at verse number 10, because here's something that Moses did too. So number one, he spoke ill-advisedly. Number two, he struck the rock twice. All right? And then number three, look in verse number 10. And Moses and Aaron... are you there? Numbers 20, verse 10. They gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. must we fetch you water out of this rock? Well, I'm just going to tell you, God said three times, Moses, you don't really have anything to do with this. I'm not going to share my glory with you. Did you know that God rebuked Moses three times? Three times for this right here. Right, one time was in verse number 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. God said, I'm holy, and you misrepresented me, and you tried to make them think that you and Aaron were part of this. This is my work. Amen. Amen. This is my work. Turn over to chapter 27 of Numbers. He said it again. Chapter 27, look at it. Look at verse 14 of chapter 27. For ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes, that is the water of Meribah and Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. He said, listen, you did not sanctify me. You did not say that it was me. You tried to share in it. You and Aaron thought you had something to do with it. That's why you got so upset about it. That's why you let it rub you wrong, because you looked at it as you instead of God. And brethren, if we're not careful, we'll be right here in this place. Get serious. God's serious about these things. And then finally, we'll close as we go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 3. And I'll be done for tonight. So God said, you're not going over into the land. Chapter 3. Look at chapter 4. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, verse 1, unto the statutes and to the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God, of your fathers, giveth you. Now watch this next verse. Because this is it. God said, don't be like Moses now. He said, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. You do what I said do, not what you want to do, not what you think you ought to do. You do what I said do. Don't you take from my word. Don't you add to my word. Don't you change my word. Amen. You say, well, Moses did it. Not without consequence. Can I tell you there'll be consequences when we try to do it too? You say, well, preacher, what about these liberal churches? You get concerned about this church. Let's get concerned about what God's called us to do. Let's stay focused on how we're going to obey the word. Amen. See, the devil can get your eyes on other things. See, there you go. If we're not careful, we'll be fighting battles that God didn't even tell us to fight. Now, I'm not saying that God may not want us to contend in some areas. If God tells you to contend, contend. But don't contend just because you think it's the right thing to do. And I won't either, by the grace of God. So Moses didn't go, brethren. So what is the message here? Well, the message is we need to follow the Lord. When I read Deuteronomy chapter 1, 2, and 3, I see Moses telling that generation of people, listen, God is long-suffering, and God is gracious and merciful, but he's also a God of holiness and justice, and God expects obedience, complete, immediate obedience. And if we're not careful, we'll look around us at a world gone crazy, churches, just bringing the world in, entertaining people, not having worship services, platforms for performances, and all this garbage that's out there, and we'll think, well, God will be okay with it. At least it's reaching people, preacher. When I hear somebody say that, I just stick my hand up and say, listen, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. God is not only concerned about the message, God is concerned about the method. And God said, you sanctify me, Moses. Amen. I want to be holy before the people. And so I pray that God would help us. I pray that would help you. We've got to keep this thing on the up and up. And we want to stay true to this book right here and the God of this book. It's very easy to fall like the nations. And that's what chapter 4 goes into. And that's where we'll go next week. Okay, let's stand. Next week, as we get into chapter 4, the Lord willing, we'll see, because he's getting ready to change. He's not looking back at history anymore. Now he's going to begin to look at the holiness. And God's going to say, I want you to keep these commandments so that the nations around you will see that you're a peculiar people and that you are my people. And so God has a purpose for the things that he does. Now, what about you? What about me?